Hare Krishna. My name is Kripa Moya. Good morning to everyone. Hare Krishna. Happy Radhashtami to you all. Hare Krishna. I go to many people's homes, and believe it or not, we have many devotees of Srimati Radharani and Krishna all around the country, for whom such a gathering as this would be just a wonderful festival, unimaginable festival of unimaginable dimensions. Another name for Srimati Radharani is Yukteswari. She's in charge of the many different groups that serve Krishna in many different ways. So I thought, what better way for us to begin a little presentation of Srimati Radharani by talking about the devotional service of others. And may I ask you to just cast your beautiful lotus-like eyes to the altar, because we have a feast that probably no one else in the country will have on this morning. It has taken weeks to prepare, and some of the different arrangements here have taken hours to execute. And this is all under the inspiration of devotion, which is under the inspiration of Srimati Radharani herself. So the beautiful dress that you see on Radha and Krishna, the dressing, is Gadadha and Gaurahari, Hari Priya, Ujeshwari, and Radhika Priya. I don't know whether you want to say jai or to clap or something like that. That's very nice. Both will do. The flower decor that you see all around the beautiful altars here was done by Radha Vinod, Radhapati. The cakes of which are, now that they have been offered, it's kind of unique. Perhaps in Mayapur they do, perhaps in Vrindavan, but I think the Great British Bake Off works very well on Radharani's appearance day. It's become a custom here, become a part of our culture. So those of you who are visiting from Lithuania or Russia or from wherever you come, which is not Britain, and you're looking at the altar and you're wondering, why are there cakes on the altar? It's because it's become a great British Vaishnav tradition on Radhastami to offer Radharani beautifully decorated cakes. And the closer you get to those cakes, the more beautiful you will see that they have been decorated. So to the cake makers, we say, jai. The cakes took 3 days to bake, and that is Anuradha, who has not slept for 3 days. Her husband has been whipping her, bake cake, bake cake. After the festival, she'll be allowed to sleep. Sorry, Anuradha, I had to mention your devotion here. Brajvilasini, and Radhika Kumari, and Mohini and Naika, of course, and Jagat Priya. And the ladies ashram have been decorating the cakes in beautiful colors and artwork. Thank you so much. Yes, of course. Otherwise, what will we do with all this physical energy during a class? So then we have the flower vases and the flower arrangements, which is Jagat Priya and Lalita. The garlands by Primanjali and her team. That's the garlands decorating their lordships. And the hanging garlands, you see beautiful Mogra and the other garlands that are decorating the shrines. That is Bharati and her team. And then you'll notice, if you look very carefully, that Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna are wearing flower outfits. These are outfits made not of cloth and stitch, but made of flowers. Very beautiful to look at. And they were made by Krishnapurna, Shakti Rupa, and they each took 10 hours to make. Yay! Now, because I'm mentioning you all, I expect an invitation to your home for a nice lunch. This is how it's done. But we must also talk about the wonderful kirtans that we've had that have brought us up to this moment. Can we please put our hands together for a man who has a wife and 3 children, but he's come here in the morning to lead Guru Puja, Krishna Dharma Prabhu. What a wonderful kirtan. Who knew? Who knew? Who knew where that kirtan came from? And Govinda. Beautiful. And leading us up to Vishwambar Prabhu's presentation, which was wonderful. Thank you, Vishwambar. Where is he? Oh, right in front. Oh, yeah, there. Thank you. Was the newly married and someone who has gained a fresh perspective on life, shall we say, after being married, Radhika Ranjan. Now, on any day, the deities that we are so privileged to be sitting here today on a Monday morning, when we should be at work, most of you, but you're so privileged, we are so privileged to be sitting here. On the internet, there are 10,000 people visit to see photographs of the deities, and over Janmashtami, 53,000 people wanted to have darshan. And we must thank an anonymous donor for providing 1,200 Great British Pounds to pay for the flowers today. Now, I just wanted to mention all these things because it takes a lot of people to serve Krishna. It takes a lot of people to assist Radharani to serve Krishna. It takes a lot of people to create a festival of celebration for Radharani's service to Krishna. One time Prabhupada was asked by the parents of a devotee. They said, why is it that in every religion God is male? Why can't there be a female God? Prabhupada said. He said, well, you have to see. He said, the whole world is worshipping God who is Purusha, or male. But who does God worship? Who does God worship? He worships Srimati Radharani. This is the inner secret. So I would like to begin, perhaps, if my voice will allow me. Today my knees don't allow me. I finally passed over the border. So I have a Vyasa chair. It's a new invention. We are creating a new tradition here. So this is a little sequence of verses by Rupa Goswami, who also wrote Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate. And if you would like to join with me, let us see if I can sing this. Yes, let's see if I can sing it. If you would loudly say after me this beautiful translation. Radha, she who is dear to Lord Damodar, his greatest worshipper, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, she who is the crowning garland of Malika flowers on the decorated braided hair of all the gopis, the first of Krishna's beloveds, an expert singer and musician, Lalita's friend, she who is delighted with the friendship of Vishakha, the flower blossom that attracts the black bee of Lord Hari's heart. Radha Damodara Preshta Radhika Varshabhanavi Samasta Balivi Brinda Dhami Lothamsa Malika Krishna Priyavali Mukya Gandharva Lalita Sakhi Vishakha Sakya Sukhini Hari Hridbringa Maschari. Let's see if I can reproduce the tune. Radha Damodara Preshta. Radhika Varshabhanavi. Radha Damodara Preshta. Radhika Varshabhanavi. One more time. Radha Damodara Preshta. Radhika Varshavanabhi. And it goes up. Samasta Balavi Brinda. Samasta Balavi Brinda. Dami Lotam Samalika. Dami Lotam Samalika. Okay, all right. We give a little bit of rhythm. You take your right hand and your left hand and bring them together like this. Ancient Indian way. Radha Damodara Preshta. Radhika Varshavanabhi. Samasta Balavi Brinda. O samasta balavi vrinda, dami lotam samalika, dami lotam samalika, o radha damodara prishta, radhika varshavanabhi. Samasta Balavi Brinda. Samasta Balavi Brinda. Dami Lotam Samalika. Dami Lotam Samalika. Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Radhe. Krishna Priyavali Mukhya. O Krishna Priyavali Mukhya. Gandharva Lalita Sakhi. O Krishna Priyavali Mukhya. Gandharva Lalita Sakhi. Gandharva Lalita Sakhi. Gandharva Lalita Sakhe. Vishakha Sakya Sukhine. Vishakha Sakya Sukhine. Hari Hrid Bringa Maschari. Hari Hrid Bringa Maschari. Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Hara Damodara Prishta. Radhika Varshavanabhi. Samasta Balavi Brinda. Dami Lotam Samalika. Krishna Priyavali Mukhya. Krishna Priyavali Mukhya. Gandharva Lalita Sakhi. Vishakha Sakya Sukhini. Hare Hrid Bringa Maschari. Radhe Jaya Jaya Radhe. Jaya Radhe Jaya Jaya Radhe. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Radhe. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you. The first thing I would like to say is that every single person in this world, as we heard for many times, is looking for Krishna. Everybody is looking for Krishna. And as our great patron here in London said, Shamsundar said, some know it, but some don't. So everybody is looking for release. One professor, he said the beginning point of all Eastern philosophy, of all soteriological studies, which means how to escape suffering, is to recognize four things, four principles. Devotees get nervous when you talk about the four principles, but there are many principles. These are four of them. There is suffering, and we are suffering, is number one. Number two, there is a way to escape suffering. There is a plane beyond suffering, and we can reach that plane beyond suffering. This must be the beginning point. For the Greeks, the ancient Greeks, the philosophers said, without understanding these cardinal points, no one will make a move on the path of spiritual life. No one makes a path on the path of point on the path of spiritual life without understanding, I am suffering. There must be a way out of here. To quote one song, must be a way out of here. I must get out of here. How can I do it? And then people begin searching. The Krishna consciousness movement is caring for a very wide spectrum of spiritual seekers. From the very beginning of there must be something more than this, all the way through to how does Srimati Radharani braid her hair in order to please Krishna the most. My dear friends, that is a very, very, very long way. The key to spiritual life is to know where you are on the spectrum and to act appropriately and to ask yukta prashna, appropriate questions. Appropriate questions. Appropriate questions will get you appropriate answers. So on a class such as today, we reflect on the great dialogue, the great samvad that took place between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prodded Ramananda Roy verbally to keep going. Yes, everybody's interested in liberation. Everybody's interested in freedom from suffering. Everybody's interested in leading a peaceful life in this world and making progress at the end of this life. Everybody's interested in this, but there's more. What is there more? Well, there's more. Well, in the Upanishads, we find that there is in the Bhrigu Valley portion of the Taittiriya Upanishad, there's a section known as the Bhrigu Valley section. It begins just like this in Sanskrit. It goes, ha-u, ha-u, ha-u. And it is a man who has come to the point of realizing Brahman. And this is a Sanskrit way to say, wow, ha-u, ahamannam, I am one with the universe. I am Brahman. I am consciousness itself. What a wonderful discovery. And then prod more. There's more. Wow, there's more. We go through the different levels of understanding that there is vishesh, there is differences. There's vishisht. There's differences between the Brahman that I am and the Brahman that I'm perceiving. Why is that? Because one is the Jnani, the knower, one is the Jnana, the knowledge, and one is the Gyatva, that is the knowledge which is to be attained. So if there's differences between the knower and the known, then perhaps I'm not the only one. Perhaps I'm not the only one. This philosophy of Nirvishesha Shunyavadi has basically flooded the world. It is like now we are experiencing floods in America, hurricanes in America, and the floodgates have opened. Floods in China, and the typhoons have got in. And the people are being flooded in a way that they've never been flooded before. Perhaps it is global warming. Perhaps it's just the age of Kali. Perhaps it is just bad weather. or all three. But we are being flooded. But there is a philosophy that has flooded the world, and that is the philosophy of escapism. And when people disheartened with ordinary religions want to escape even religion itself and to escape the concept of God, then they will automatically be attracted to impersonal understanding. And in one way, that's a little bit better than perhaps something that they have been used to. But there's more. So A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is celebrated as the person who gave Nirvishesha Shunyavadi a hard time, even before his early followers knew what Nirvishesha Shunyavadi actually was. He was challenging it. In the Madhva Sampradaya, when they go to the toilet, they chant verses against Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. They will argue. The young boys in the Gurukula are trained to debate against Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. So Prabhupada has trained us, but sometimes we don't even know when we experience it in conversations, in conceptions. So Prabhupada was very cutting and very kind. So when he told us about Krishna and Krishna consciousness, beginning he was very cutting away that which was not Krishna. He said, Krishna is very easy to find. He said, you just have to cut away everything in your life which is not Krishna. There was a famous story of a young man who was a sculptor, and he went before a king. You know this story? And the king was having a sculpting competition, and he asked everyone to sculpt an elephant that looked so real that the king would not be able to tell at a distance what was the real elephant and what was the statue. And so all the sculptors lined up, and the king said, sculpture, sculpture, sculpture. And then one boy, he said, can you take that elephant back to the paddock? He said, I think one of my elephants has escaped. He said, no, your majesty, that is my sculpture. He said, you? But you're a boy. How did you understand that? And he walked over and he looked and he touched the elephant because he couldn't believe, because it looked so real. He said, how did you make such a beautiful elephant that looks so real? He said, your majesty, it is very simple. I just started with a block of stone and I slowly, slowly chipped away everything which was not elephant. And I was left with the elephant. So Prabhupada said, life, he uses the same example, he said, life is a block of wood. He said, and bhakti yoga is a chisel. He said, you just chip, 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 chip away everything which is not Krishna, and in the end there will be Krishna standing before you. He said, it is very simple. Probably he followed that up with a, where is the difficulty? Later on, in the late 70s, Prabhupada said, I tricked them. I said, where was the difficulty? He said, it was difficult for some of them. But unless the guru says, where is the difficulty, then you'll faced with a lifetime of chipping, chipping, chipping. And sometimes you look and you see there's just an ugly mess. There's just a big block of wood that looks a different shape than the one that you started with. Where is Krishna? So then there's more. We chip, chip away at Nirvishesha, chip, chip away at Shunyavadi, and we come to at least the personal understanding. But personal understanding is so, so difficult. Why is it? Because for hundreds, perhaps thousands of lifetimes, we have tried to escape from this world. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the very first instruction he gave to the Goswamis was, Brahmanda brahmite kona bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasade bhaya bhakti lata bij. It is so difficult to find that moment in time when you get the bij of Krishna consciousness. So it's such a very rarely attained thing, both in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says it is a very rarely attained thing. You may get the best start in life. You may get the best guru in life. You may get the best temple. You may get the best community. But still, it's so hard to keep on with that chipping. And the reason it's hard, because we reach the point that we reached in our last life. We reach the point that we reached in our last life, and suddenly Krishna consciousness seems comfortable. This is not the first life for many of us, not the first life. So we've been practicing devotion perhaps for some time, and then we come, and now we have to move on, and this is where the effort begins. So therefore, one time Prabhupada said, with reference to his engaging us to sell his books, he said, sell book, sell book, sell book. He said, I'm practically whipping you. He knew that he was being hard on his disciples. He knew that he was setting up a missionary organization that would be hard on its members. But for the guru to go soft on the members of his organization even once is to allow a chink into which Maya can come. So if it seems that Prabhupada is harsh in what he says about how to understand Krishna and through Krishna to understand Radharani, then it's because he absolutely required that. And he spoke as the greatest manifestation of Srimati Radharani's mercy that the world has ever seen. Practically speaking, Prabhupada was carrying a basket of unlimited eternal flowers on his head. Wherever he went, he would distribute those flowers to whoever he met. And in one sense, each and every one of us have heard Prabhupada's message, and that's why we're gathered here today. Please don't think that I'm trying to criticize you in any way. Each and every one of you is glorious devotees, because devotees are nectar seekers. Devotees are like chakora birds. They will only drink from the clouds. So devotees, especially when they gather on these festival days, are like little birds who are always just waiting for the rain cloud of nectar to break so that they'll finally be able to drink. We don't like to drink anywhere else. We like to drink that nectar of Krishna Katha, Hari Katha. So we are all gathered as a community, and we're also gathered in the very same place where Srila Prabhupada gave a very important instruction about Srimati Radharani, because the devotees were building Bhaktivedanta Manor. Of course, the legend is that George Harrison gave us the building. That's another legend. It has a few financial details, but that is the legend. But everybody had stripped even the door handles, all the brass fittings, all the lampshades, everything was gone. So devotees had a lot of work to do. And building this, ready for the installation of Sri Radha Gokulananda on Janmashtami of 1973, that took a lot of work. So one of the first things Prabhupada did when he came into this temple room in 1973, he looked around the room and he praised the devotees, and he said, if one person, so he comes in the temple and he turns one screw in the wall. He said, Radharani will turn to Krishna and say, just see, my Lord, see this devotee. What a great devotee he is, she is. What a great devotee. Please give them your mercy. Please give them your mercy. So that gives our heart a little relief that we have tried to chip away to see Krishna. Sometimes we feel it. I actually don't believe that anybody in this room has not felt Radharani's mercy. It is almost impossible to remain as a devotee unless we achieve that. So Radharani's intercession is there for everybody. And Prabhupada said, she is much easier to please than Krishna. So Krishna is very strict and hard. And Radharani is very soft. He said, therefore, for Krishna, you have to fast until midnight. So for Srimati Radharani, you fast until midday. She's very soft and loving towards her devotees. So Radharani is our mediatrix, to use the Latin term. She's our via media to Krishna. And of course, the guru is our via media to Srimati Radharani. And of course, there's bucket loads of theology we could get into there. But one time, Prabhupada's guru was at Radhakund. I don't know whether it was the same time that he was giving the talk on the Upanishads, but just to upset everybody had come. They want Radha Leela, and he started talking about the Upanishads. I think he liked to stir up trouble. So then there was a king who came, a local king at that time, before. There was 537 kings in India just before the British left. Anyway, the king came to Radhakund, and he said, he is coming to Radhakund because he is a devotee of Krishna and Radha is dear to Krishna. He said, we have come here because we are devotees of Radharani and we worship Krishna because Krishna is dear to Radharani. He was making the point. So what points did Prabhupada make? I'm very cautious. This is like walking on very thin ice. We have to be very careful here. Things can go wrong. So we have to be very careful. So what I did was I looked back at what classes Prabhupada gave, about Srimati Radharani. And the first one I came to was in 1968 in Montreal on August the 30th. But before that, what came this book. This is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the Golden Avatar. And this is a 1967 version. This goes back a long way. And I've never read Prabhupada speaking about Radharani. Should we say the tattva, Radharani tattva, the ontological position of Srimati Radharani, in such a way, even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's some turns of phrase that Prabhupada uses here that I thought were particularly helpful. I will be reading, so I beg your mercy that you will find it palatable so that you can listen. I'm not a storyteller, but Prabhupada normally he normally begins by speaking about Krishna. This is consistent in his presentation on Radhastami classes. He begins by presenting Krishna. And he often begins with the Upanishads, because the Upanishads are to help us to understand something great, something very great, something universally great, something cosmically great, something great, great, greater, even greater than our perception can even extend to greatness. So when he's happy that we understand how great Krishna is, that you cannot put Krishna in the palm of your hand and ask him to dance and enjoy his pastimes without understanding who Krishna is. When you've understood who Krishna is, then you can understand Srimati Radharani as the pleasure potency of Krishna. But in this introduction, the very beginning of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada is very straightforward. He says, one should understand what Radha Krishna is. Radha and Krishna display the pleasure potency of the eternal energy of Krishna. That pleasure potency of Krishna's internal energy is the most difficult subject matter, unless one understands what Krishna is. Krishna cannot see any pleasure in this material world, but he has got that pleasure potency. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, therefore, that pleasure potency is within us also. But we are trying to exhibit that pleasure potency in matter. Well, Krishna does not. The object of his pleasure potency is Radharani. It's very interesting that in another place, Prabhupada talks about, this is in his 1968 lecture, so a year after he wrote this, in Montreal. And he's taking great pains to explain that he says, great kings, they enjoy the company of young girls. He says, this is palace life. He says, in the palace of the king, there are many young girls dressed very attractively. And some of them are cooking for the king, and he's enjoying. This is a king's life. He said, but many kings have given up this life in order to escape the world and to experience the bliss of Brahman. Because the Upanishads tell us that the bliss of Brahman is a million times greater than any bliss of any king in this world. In fact, in one Upanishad it is said, the bliss of a young king, a young prince, it says, who is at the height of his power, height of his physical and mental power, this young prince living in the palace, surrounded by wealth, surrounded by princesses, his happiness is a drop in the ocean of, actually Upanishad says that the demigods are experiencing much more bliss than this. The rishis are experiencing 100 times more bliss than this. In the loka of Indra, he's experiencing 100 times more bliss than this. In Brahmaloka, he's experiencing 100 times more bliss than this. He said, but that person who has escaped the bodily identification of life, who no longer thinks I am this body, who understands I am spirit soul, this person is experiencing the ocean of bliss. So this is a hierarchy of blisses. It's all happiness. One time Prabhupada said that life is to enjoy. The purpose of life is to enjoy. What a relief. What a relief. Up comes the finger. He said, but, and there's always a but, you must know how to enjoy. You must know how to enjoy. Not the enjoyment of the hog, the dog, the cat, the camel, the ass, but the enjoyment of the liberated soul. So then Jiva Goswami takes over in his commentary, in his Sandarbhas, he takes over this hierarchy. And he completes the hierarchy and he says, one who has tasted the bliss of service to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, that person is experiencing bliss a million times greater than the bliss of Brahmanda. So he wants to complete that hierarchy for us. So Prabhupada is saying here that the whole world is trying to enjoy, and the king gets the best of it. And all of us would love to be a king or a queen. We would love to be. That's why everybody's very happy to see, there's another royal wedding. Oh, is she going to, what dress is she going to wear? She's going to be in a chariot. Who's decorating her hair? Who did the flowers? Who's doing it? Everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to know. Who's she wearing on the reception? You know? Who made the cufflinks? Everybody wants to know. How can I possibly enjoy like the future king and queen or the prince and princess? Wonderful. See, everybody wants to enjoy. This is a superlative level of enjoyment. But Prabhupada here is making the point that great kings who are already on that level of enjoyment, they're giving up that enjoyment in order to experience Brahmanda. In order to experience that. You see? This is the point. He says, so do you think that Krishna's enjoyment is enjoyment like you? So don't look at Krishna and thinking he is enjoying a young girl's company like I am enjoying a young girl's company. Prabhupada, so he takes us through the Upanishads and then makes this, you know, this is very guarded. He's guarding us. He's taking us up. He's watering us and he's showering us with, rain and sunshine. The little Bhakti Lata Beej is growing. And what the next thing Prabhupada is doing is you hear the sound of the mallet, chop, 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 chop. And he's putting a fence. He's putting a fence all around that little Bhakti Lata Beej by giving us warnings. It's for our own benefit. If not for now, then for later. You see? It's for later. It's for this reason that a mother, when the child tries to cross the road for the first time, children love to run anywhere. But the harshest warning comes from the kindest mum. Doesn't it? You mums, you know. Don't cross the road! Don't you dare cross the road until I tell you. Why? Because babies always want to cross the road. That's what they do. That's what children do. As soon as I can grow a pair of legs, I want to run out into the middle of the road and see the cars. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Okay. So the mother issues the sternest warning, even though she's very kind. So the guru is very kind, but he gives the sternest warning immediately. Okay. He points to his disciples and he says, the impersonalists, what do they know? And the devotees there on the 26th Second Avenue, they're looking around. Who's he talking about? Who's this people? Who are these people? So I say, rascal, nonsense. So Prabhupada is having an imaginary fight with an imaginary philosopher for the benefit of his newly born children, and he's warning them. So he's making the point here that ordinary people can give up pleasure. So when we see Krishna, do not project our pleasure seeking onto Krishna's pleasure seeking. They're two different. Nothing in this world belongs to us, but everything in the world belongs to Krishna. So therefore he's Adi Purusha, Param Purusha, and he's the only Purusha. He's the only enjoyer. Everything else is make-believe. Everything else is trying to copy Krishna. So we must be very careful of that. So then he goes on to say, Krishna exhibits his potency or his energy as Radharani and then exchanges loving affairs with her. Krishna cannot take pleasure in this external energy. This is very difficult to understand, but just try. Krishna exhibits his internal energy. I didn't say that, Prabhupada said it. His pleasure potency as Radharani. That means, is the interesting part. It gets very, very interesting now. That Krishna manifests himself as he has so many extensions, so many expansions, so many incarnations. So Radharani is the manifestation of his internal pleasure potency. Radharani is also Krishna. There is no difference between the energy and the energetic. Without energy, there is no meaning to energetic. And without the energetic, there is no meaning to energy. Similarly, without Radha, there is no meaning to Krishna. And without Krishna, there is no meaning to Radha. Therefore, and it begins another point now, that the Vaishnavas always go through, what Prabhupada in many places called Krishna's tender-hearted feminine counterpart. Tender-hearted feminine counterpart. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he describes Radharani as Krishna's counter-whole. Not a counterpart of Krishna, Krishna's counter-whole, because Krishna is subservient to Radharani. Even the name Radha means that she who is performing the greatest aradhanam. Aradhanam means service to Krishna. Aparadhana means offenses to Krishna. So Radha means that person who is the best servant of Krishna, she who gives the best pleasure. So, therefore, the Vaishnava philosophy... Are we okay, everyone? Are we okay? You're all right. The Vaishnava philosophy, first of all, worships the internal pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. It is always said, Radha Krishna, Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan, potency always first. Radha and Krishna are one. When Krishna desires to enjoy pleasure, he manifests himself. The spiritual exchange of love affair is the display of the internal potency or pleasure potency of Krishna. Ah, so the next question is, well, when did Krishna manifest as Radharani? Prabhupada knew that you were going to ask that question. So he writes, we say, quote unquote, when Krishna desires, although just when he did not desire, we cannot say. But we speak in this way because in conditional life, we take it that everything has some beginning. In the absolute or spiritual life, there is no beginning. There is no end. But in order to understand that Radha and Krishna are one and that they become divided, that question when automatically comes to be asked. When Krishna desired to enjoy his pleasure potency, he manifested himself in the separate form of Radharani. Again, when Krishna wanted to understand himself through the agency of Radha, they became united. And that unification is called Lord Chaitanya. Why has Krishna assumed that form? That will be explained. So then he goes on to explain what the purpose of this book is about, is to explain how Krishna came to understand what devotional service to him feels like. It's a very famous story. It's very famous. It's not been working for a week. So there's a famous story of Durvasa Muni, and he comes and he performs an offense at a great devotee of the Lord, Ambarish. You all know the story. The Sudarshan Chakra chases Durvasa Muni across the universe, and finally there's a confrontation with the Lord himself, and he says, I can't help you. He says, I can't help you. He said, but you're Narayan. You're Vishnu. You are the cosmos is your body. Why can you not help me? You're the last person I'm coming to see. I know the hierarchy. I know the drill. I went to Brahma. I went to Shiva. Now I'm come to you. You are the person. You're the only person. I can't go anywhere else. He said, oh. He said, you're forgetting. I am in the heart of my devotees. Why? Because the devotees are in my heart. I can't forget them because they never forget me. He said, so I'm useless to you. He said, you go and you pay obeisances to that devotee whom you've offended and you ask forgiveness. And then you'll be forgiven. And of course, he goes back and the Sudarshan Chakra chases him all the way back to the lotus feet of the Vaishnav. He begs forgiveness. And of course the Vaishnav says, yeah, of course, no problem. Or whatever the Sanskrit equivalent of no problem is. No problem. He's immediately Sudarshan disappears. This is the power of bhakti. This is the power of the devotional service. And Rupa Goswami says, that power, that is the power of Radharani. So one who has achieved that power, who has achieved Radharani's grace. And I think it's fair to say that everybody who's sitting in a class waiting to know something, we've all achieved something, isn't it? Sometimes devotees, we are our own worst enemy. We are our own worst enemy. You know who your worst enemy in spiritual life is? Look in the mirror the next time you put your tilak on. That's your own worst enemy. Because that person is telling you, you're never going to make it. You're not really a devotee. Call yourself a devotee? Look at you. That tilak is the most spiritual thing. Isn't it? We are very critical. And then of course, we give ourselves a little bit of therapy, and we brush our hair, we go up to our full stature, and then we think. Actual fact, at Bhaktivedanta Manor, there's no one really as important as me. Did you see the way I made those flowers? See the way I, you know? We do that. So we are our own worst enemy. But just to encourage us. Thank you. Just to encourage us, we need to understand the story that Prabhupada told about the little chihuahua. You know chihuahua? Little chihuahua, little Mexican dog. They got a very loud bark. And sometimes Prabhupada would see a little dog like this. They're pocket dogs. You can just fit them in your pocket. In fact, some ladies do. They carry them around in their handbag. I was having a discussion about very high topics of Krishna with one lady, and she opened up her handbag, and in her handbag there was a little I thought, Mike, who carries a dog in their handbag? I know women carry everything in their handbag, but a little puppy. So Prabhupada had seen a little dog barking at a big Great Dane. And he looked and he said, how is a very small dog brave enough to bark at a very big dog? Then he noticed something. Then he put it into a class. He said, because that little dog is connected by a collar and a lead to his master. And the master is bigger than the other dog. And therefore, the little dog can stand. He can stand. You know, sometimes they do. They're like that. They jump. They jump like that. The huge great dog who, if the great dog wanted to, would just go. One swallow would be all it took. But the little dog stands his ground and he goes. So Prabhupada, he said, they are barking because they know I am connected to my master. And my master will always protect me. Therefore, let me bark. So in the same way, we should also know that we are connected by this collar. Put your finger on your collar. You're connected by this collar. You're connected by the collar, and that has an invisible lead, but you're connected. So you can bark, you can be brave, you can be bold. We have to be brave and courageous to be a devotee in this world. Everything in this world, basically speaking, is conspiring against us. Everything in this world is conspiring against us. Every song, every book, every movie, every magazine, every newspaper article, every politician, every other person is conspiring against you being a successful Vaishnava and Vaishnavi, practically speaking. Therefore, not to commit an offense, we build defense. We build an offense, a defense around ourselves. And we have to encourage ourselves by affirmations. I'm a devotee. I'm a devotee. I'm a devotee. Okay? Just say it. I'm a devotee. I'm a devotee of Krishna. I'm worthy of Radharani's mercy. Oh, yeah. Because if we don't, there's only many, many more people who will not say that to us. And we have to encourage each other also. Because Radharani's mercy is available in a community when each member of the community encourages and supports each other. And what does that mean? Well, the word encourage means to give courage. And give courage doesn't mean that you don't feel fear. That little dog, he feels fear because he's looking and his little legs are going, but he still barks because courage comes from who you're connected to. So it's not, none of this is about you. It's not about you. Isn't that a relief? It's not about you. It's about who you are connected to. In the material world, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And in the spiritual world, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Because who you know gives you kindness and compassion. So we can all do with more kindness and compassion in our life and with each other. And on Radharani's appearance day, this is what we remember. Because she is very kind. She is very kind. She's very kind to you and you and you. So we have to be kind to the person sitting next to you. Just turn to the person sitting next to you. Turn to the person sitting next to you. Yes, don't be afraid. And shake their hand or do a pranam. That's it. And think, in a little while, I'm going to say something encouraging to this person. Because to give courage, this is Radharani's mercy. Okay, we've done that. I'm just learning from the Rick Warren Evangelist Church. It's a good technique. So, Prabhupada, shall I continue? Get him off. So Prabhupada says, Prabhupada's very first explanation of Radharani is, for me anyway, it's an unforgettable sutra. Prabhupada said that Srimati Radharani is the best devotee of Krishna. Because, why is she the best devotee of Krishna? Because she loves him the most. 1966, 26 Second Avenue, that's how Prabhupada introduced Radharani. Yeah. Of course, the other thing he said is, who is that girl with Krishna? People may ask, who is that girl with Krishna? I think Prabhupada was giving them a little too much credit. Normally when people see a picture of Radha and Krishna, they say, who are those two girls? Huh? Who are those two girls? He said, who is that girl with Krishna? And his explanation is, she is the best devotee of Krishna because she loves him the most. So then he goes on to explain to his very, very early disciples. He said, Srimati Radharani is interested in the welfare of all devotees and that you can pray to her. He said, you can't go directly to Krishna, but if Krishna's best devotee is pleased with you, then that devotee will recommend you to Krishna and Krishna will be obliged to give you his mercy. So Prabhupada put this piece about Radharani in his very first books that he translated. 1967 was very early on. So then 1968 is the first, for me anyway, in my research, we've talked about it, that Prabhupada was introducing Krishna as the supreme goal, the ultimate goal of Vedanta, the absolute truth, the ultimate source of all, and how souls can give up mundane pleasure to reach him. Why do we get it so wrong? He explained that there is a tree, a mango tree, on the bank of a lake, and it's a peaceful lake. There's no wind, and the mango tree is reflected in the lake. So you've got the mango tree here, and you've got an upside-down mango tree here. And at the top of the mango tree is the ripest mango, sweetest mango, that's been in the sunshine the longest. It's always at the top. But it's at the bottom in the reflection. If you touch the mango in the reflection, all you'll get is a handful of ripples of water. You see? So he said, the highest thing in the spiritual world is the lowest thing in the material world. Now, he was speaking to a group of young people in the 1960s. They probably didn't think that the association of young boys and young girls was the low thing, because that's everything that everybody is aspirational for. And it still is. You see? But for... this would work on a probably work on an Indian audience in the 1930s, this example. But it doesn't so well work today, I have noticed. But it's applicable. It's applicable. Because Krishna is consorting with young girls, and I am consorting with young girls. I like this Krishna. Huh? as one gentleman in Chicago said, hey, Krishna's black and he has a white girlfriend, that's cool. Well, Prabhupada said, he said, you say the name Radha, and someone is thinking, oh yes, I know Radha. She lives in the next village. She's the barber's wife. So you cannot fail to project, to make an anthropomorphic projection onto the divine strata. You cannot escape it. So take it for granted that we do, and then we proceed to understand Krishna and Radha with caution. We've just had a summer of, you know, for me it's been a summer of different weddings and people like different entertainments. And one of the entertainments that I see these days is that people like to dress up in inflatable sumo suits. You know these inflatable sumo suits? You puff them up and you're inside and the sumo suit is like this and you can waddle towards the next person. If you don't know sumo, it's a type of Japanese wrestling. Basically, it's two very large people covered in grease who try to get each other out of the ring. But the man inside the sumo suit, he's very thin. But in the sumo suit, he's very large. And he can behave in a different way. Practically speaking, the whole world is in an inflatable sumo suit. Each of us. And it's inflated with false ego. And we give ourselves titles. Oh, look at me, I'm a Japanese sumo warrior. No, you're not. You're a very thin man who's very weak. And the only people who are looking at you right now are the people that are laughing at you. So we should stop trying to be enjoyers of this world, because the sumo suit is very quickly going to be punctured, unfortunately. Prabhupada said, we are like children who are playing on the beach, building our sandcastles, and the tide is coming in. The tide is getting closer and closer and closer to the sandcastles, and everything will be dissolved. So before the child gets completely distressed at seeing a whole afternoon's work ruined by the tide, the parents come and they say, let's go and have some ice cream. Come on. They take them by the hand. Let's go and have some ice cream. Why ice cream? Because it's a higher pleasure than making sandcastles. So similarly, the guru comes and says, before your life runs out, my dear child, please come and taste this greater nectar that I will give you. And takes us away from the beach. That beach is tatasta, tatasta, the marginal energy in which we are very absorbed. Okay. So then Prabhupada continues. When do we finish, actually? When do we finish? Huh? Oh, 10 o'clock. Goody, goody. Okay. Are we all right so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit louder, please. Yeah, is it all right? Okay, good. Okay, now, there are many stories coming from, I don't know where, Babaji's and many others that give the story of the appearance of Radharani, but this is how Prabhupada explains it. He says, Krishna is surrounded by Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. He's surrounded by Lakshmis. Each group of Lakshmis or gopis is serving him. He says, and Radharani is the chief. She's the chief. So you say, the birth of Radharani was not from the womb of any human being. She was found by her father in the field. There are different stories. While the father was plowing, he saw one little nice child is lying there, and he had no children. So he caught it and presented to the queen. Oh, here we have got a nice child. How you got? Oh, in the field. Just see. Radharani's Janma is like that. So then Prabhupada sings the song that Rupa Goswami sung. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite.
Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Gokula Taruni Mandala Maite. Gokula Taruni Mandala Maite. Gokula Taruni
Thank you. Just had to get that out of my system. Thank you. So, Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Deity. Prabhupada says, Radharani, she is so dear to Krishna. Everyone is trying to love Krishna, but Krishna is trying to love somebody. How great she is. Just try to understand. The whole world, the whole universe, all living entities are trying to love Krishna. Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema is so valuable, but Krishna is after Radharani. Just see how Radharani is great. Try to understand the greatness of Radharani. She is so great. We have to offer our respect. And how is she? Everybody, Gokula. Gokula Taruni Mandala Mai. Taruni. Taruni means young girls. You will see the pictures. They're all young girls. She is the most beautiful. She is enchanting to the young girls also. She is so beautiful. Gokula Taruni Mandala Mahite Damodara Rati Varadana Veshe. She always dresses herself so nicely that Damodar, Krishna, becomes attracted by her beauty. She is the only lovable object of Krishna. And she is the queen of Vrindavan. You will find in Vrindavan, if you go to Vrindavan, everyone is worshipping Radharani. Rani means queen. They are always speaking. Jai Radhe, Radharani. All the devotees in Vrindavan, they are worshippers of Radharani. I was stuck on a rush hour train coming from Delhi with a man, a youngish man, but a pujari, and he was coming to Mathura Junction on this speedy train. So we got talking. I always talk to people on trains. I don't know if you do, but sometimes I meet interesting people. Anyway, I said, "Where do you live? Do you live in Vrindavan?" He said, "No." He said, "I don't live in Vrindavan." He said, "I live in Varsana." He said, "We don't go to Vrindavan." I was thinking, is this man a Prakriti Sahaja or is this man for real? So I prodded him, but not physically. I prodded him with my voice. This man is for real. He's living in Varsana. And from a very, very early age, he's grown up to see Radharani as the only object of worship. It was very strange, but comforting and reassuring to be in a conversation with someone who was speaking so energetically, so passionately about the Queen of Vrindavan. Very interesting for me. I think my stiff British upper-class lip maybe melted a little bit. Very nice. Anyway, Karunam Kurumai Karunavarite Sanaka Sanatana Varnita Chari. Again. Karunam Kurumai Karunabarite Sanaka Sanatana. So now listen, this is very important, especially Sanaka Sanatana Varnita Charite. He explained that Radha Krishna philosophy is a great philosophy and is understood on the liberated stage, not on the conditioned stage. He said, on the conditioned stage, we worship Lakshmi Narayan by following regulative principles. Very interesting. So in this Vidhimarga, when you have no love for God or Krishna, you have to follow the regulative principles. Prabhupada was talking about the 64 principles of worshiping Krishna in Vidhimarga. There is practice when practicing. Just like you practice this mridanga playing. In the beginning, it is not in order. But when you become well-versed in the practice, sorry, Mali, the sound will become so nice. Prabhupada once said to Tribhuvanath, Tribhuvanath was here in this temple, Tribhuvanath was the most enthusiastic mridanga player you could ever meet, wasn't it? Tribhuvanath was so enthusiastic in his mridanga players that his veins would bulge. His veins would bulge and his hands would bleed. And Prabhupada pointed at him one time and he said, just like this boy, he is picking up the drum, bang, 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 bang. He said, but he is so enthusiastic. It is very nice. So practice makes perfect. Then he continues, similarly, when we are engaged by regulated principles in the worship of Radha Krishna, that is called Vidhimarga. And actually, when you're on the love platform, that is called Raga Marga. I read a very nice definition of raga. It says, raga is an innate attraction when there is no intellectual processing in between you and the feeling. You don't have to think, this is Krishna, therefore I should bow down. This is Radharani, therefore I should try and understand. This is raga means a spontaneous attraction. So sometimes people say, in your Krishna consciousness movement, there is no raga. You have to go on somewhere else to find raga. I say, devotees are experiencing in many different ways, but we are getting these spurti, these little glimpses. And because we get little glimpses, we know there is more to come. That's what encourages each and every one of us. No one can be here today, on Radharani's appearance day, if you haven't been graced, and you haven't seen, and you haven't understood, and you haven't shed tears of love for Krishna. It's absolutely not it's not possible to be a member of this Krishna consciousness movement when those tears of love have never wetted your eyes. I will challenge anybody. This Krishna consciousness movement is for lovers of Krishna. But we get spurti. We get little and then it goes. Usually it goes because we think, I'm experiencing ecstasy now. I've reached it. As soon as you say that, boom, gone. And sometimes the gap between experiencing it and thinking, I am experiencing, is a microsecond. We have to make sure that the microseconds expand to at least a second, then 2 seconds, and then we're on our way. Yeah? But don't get puffed up. So without Vidhimarga, if anyone wants to learn the Raga Marga immediately, that is foolishness. That is foolishness. Nobody can pass MA examination without going through the regulative principles or primary schools and colleges. So therefore, Prabhupada says, I do not indulge in the discussions of Radha and Krishna so easily. Rather, go on with the regulative principle at the present moment. Gradually, as you become purified, as you become on the transcendental platform, you will understand what is Radha Krishna. Okay. Now someone may say, you are so great learned scholar, you Vaishnavs, you are so great saintly person, and you are begging mercy from an ordinary village girl? How is that? Therefore Rupa Goswami says in this song, this is not an ordinary village girl. Sanaka, Sanatana, Varnita Charite. This girl's description is possible to be made only by great saintly persons like Sanaka and Sanatana. She is not ordinary. Okay. He continues. In the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says, to perform devotional service means to follow in the footsteps of Radharani, and the devotees in Vrindavan put themselves under the care of Radharani in order to achieve perfection in their devotional service. In other words, devotional service is not an activity of the material world. It is directly under the control of Radharani. You know, sometimes people leave devotional service and you meet them. I've met many people over the years, 40 years something of practice, and I meet people when they come, I meet people when they stay, and I meet people when they go. And when they go, people say, I chose to leave. I left Krishna consciousness, meaning that I was fully in control of my decision. No, I'm afraid you weren't. You weren't in control when you came and you joined, and you were not in control, definitely not in control. You were completely out of control when you left Krishna consciousness. Because no one who's under Radharani's care leaves Krishna consciousness. So you have to look and you have to see. The problem is that I think I was in control. So Prabhupada says here, if you get devotional service, it's because of Radharani's mercy. If you leave devotional service, then you would have had to have done something that really, you're really desperately trying hard to forget. One boy was interviewed one time, and it was 8 years since he'd been a devotee. Well, yeah, of course, everybody's a devotee, but he said to the newspaper, he said, for the past 8 years, he said, I just cannot get Hare Krishna out of my head. Every morning when I wake up, he said, I'm trying to forget it all. Trying to forget it, as it goes round and round in my head. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So I'm trying to forget, but I can't forget. So he was lucky. So Prabhupada, he says here, Prabhupada remarks that Radharani is soft and kind. He said, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna, devotees offer obeisances to Krishna's compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotees, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. And that is why when we all gaze at Radharani, we see Radharani has two items, two attributes only. She doesn't have four hands. Okay? She doesn't have eight arms. Mother Durga has eight arms. You know what Mother Durga's eight arms are? To take away everything you have. There's nothing that you can hold in your hand that Mother Durga can't take away ultimately. But Radharani has two. And one hand is serving Krishna, and the other hand is serving you. Just see, she's got a basket of flowers for Krishna, and the other hand is serving you. This hand is called Abhay Mudra. It's the blessing hand. It means don't worry. Sometimes in India, Lord Vishnu's hand is like this, and they cover his hand with diamonds, and then white diamonds, and then in rubies they pick out the lettering, Ma Suchaha, Ma Suchaha. It means don't worry. His promise is that if you surrender to me, I'll protect you. So Radharani's promise is, you surrender to him, I'll protect you. So now there's two on our side. There's two on our side, what can go wrong? Supreme God and Supreme Goddess, what could possibly go wrong? You see? Very nice. Sometimes now there's a growth in many different religious strands. And it's the business of this Krishna consciousness movement to address these different strands. These days we have people who are very, very seriously reading the Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, a book that many devotees have not read or not encountered. But the very people are quoting to us in Sanskrit Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. The other thing they're quoting to us is the paganism is very big. So they're coming to us and they're saying, Krishna, you have Krishna, don't you have a goddess? And of course we are the movement, we are the goddess movement. So we should go into the world and say we are the Hare Krishna movement. We are the society for Krishna consciousness, all about Krishna, that men join, and it's ruled by men, controlled by men, directed by men, and all the gurus are men. But there is another movement beyond that, and that is the movement of young people who are interested in seeing the tender-hearted, feminine counterpart of Krishna. Yes, it's a psychological device, but we need those women in our movement. We really do, because they will be the future devotees and mothers of the future devotees. So don't make any mistake. We are very attractive, but sometimes we only manifest a portion of our attraction. So Prabhupada continues, he says, but the devotees take advantage of his compassionate nature, always pray to Radharani. So, and for praying to Radharani, the easiest way is to address her in Hare Krishna mantra, which is made up of names of Radha and Krishna. O energy of the Lord, Hara, O Lord, please engage me in your service. Then Prabhupada gives many warnings. He says we should be reserved in speaking about Radharani. But at the same time, he imparted to us a sweet and pure understanding of Radharani and the practical means to advance ourselves. So, the reason why Prabhupada was very careful is because if young devotees could get it wrong, they would get it wrong. And as neophytes, we would, mistake. And Prabhupada told the story of the cow in the barn. He says, once there was a fire in a barn, and a cow became so frightened that thereafter, whenever she saw the color red, she panicked. In a similar way, conditioned souls are so traumatized or addicted that as soon as they see a picture of Krishna embracing Radha, they think, yes, that's the same as what I feel for my girlfriend. Prabhupada was also very afraid that if the devotees took prematurely to Radha Krishna affairs, they would become sahajas. And he told about a man who said, we said it before, whenever I hear the name Radha, I always think of a barber's wife whose name is Radha. But Prabhupada continues. He talks about in 1969, he gave the class in London. He said, Radharani is the pleasure potency known as Hladini Shakti. Hladini Shakti. And again, he talks about when Krishna desires, he doesn't desire pleasure from an ordinary person. He expands into the pleasure potency, and that is Radharani. Okay, so he says, if we approach Krishna through Radharani, through her mercy, then it becomes very easy. We just have another few minutes now, another 8 minutes. If Radharani recommends this devotee is very nice, then Krishna immediately accepts. However much a fool I may be. How about that? Because it is recommended by Radharani, Krishna accepts. Therefore, in Vrindavan, you'll find the devotees, they're chanting Jai Radhi. They are more interested in worshipping Radharani because however fallen I may be, if somehow or another I can please Radharani, then it's very easy for me to understand Krishna. And Prabhupada meditating on Radha and Madhava, Prabhupada would enter into that pastime of Radharani serving Krishna sometimes so much that he would fall into a trance in particular places. Prabhupada's father prayed that he could please become a devotee of Srimati Radharani. But another important point is that as Radharani worshipped Krishna in the mood of separation, after Krishna left Vrindavan, so Lord Chaitanya was also in this mood. And Lord Chaitanya's demonstration of separation was taken up by the six Goswamis. Prabhupada indicates that this, so although Radha and Krishna are eternally together, and eternal means, it's interesting actually, some theological idea is that salvation, when salvation occurs, when you get your salvation, you become eternal, and eternal means from this point forward, you become eternal, you're on and on into the future. But the original Greek word of eternal is derived from a Greek word, which means that eternal is, naturally, is eternal in the past also. So once having gained eternity, you have always been eternal, you see. So Radha and Krishna are eternally together, but in this world, they are very much separated. So this mood is taken on, that Radharani is always in the absence of Krishna. So in 1969, at a Radhastami lecture, Prabhupada said, Hey Radhe, Braja Devi ke chalalite, he nanda suno kuta. So the six Goswamis, they don't imitate Radha with Krishna, they imitate Radha, the feelings of being away from Krishna. Where, Radharani? Where are you? Where are your associates? Where are you, Nanda Suno, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna? Where are you all? They were searching after. They never said, I have seen Krishna dancing with the gopis. Last night I saw. This is Sahaja. They take everything very cheap. They take Krishna very cheap and Radharani very cheap, as if they can see every night. No. The Goswamis don't teach us like that. They are searching after. So we have to follow the footprints of the Goswamis, how to search out Krishna and Radharani, or within our heart. This process of devotional service is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Don't say that we very easily, we have seen Krishna or seen Radharani in Rasa Leela. No, not like that. Feel the separation. The more you feel separation from Krishna, you should understand you are advancing. So he said, if you engage your tongue in the service of the Lord, he will reveal himself to you. Here I am. We should feel separation of Krishna just like Radharani, as Lord Chaitanya teaches. So in the Antya Leela, chapter 14 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj tells us that Radharani's emotions after seeing Uddhava exactly corresponded to those of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then in the purport, Prabhupada says that some theosophists, theosophist was one of the different philosophies that occurred in the Victorian era when British Christianity was being mixed with the local Hinduism to produce, you know, some hybrids. If you put two flowers together. So we had a lot of religions that were not with Krishna, that were embarrassed at the deities worship. So we had Arya Samaji, Brahmo Samaj, different religions like that coming up. He says, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such cultivation of separation is easy for him, but difficult for the living entity. And so we can approach Krishna in any way we like. To nullify this idea, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated practically how one can achieve love of Krishna by adopting the mood of separation of Radharani from Krishna. Hmm. So finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented. This is where we get into the upper regions of theology and understanding of the separation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, he was lamenting. He says, I found Krishna in Vrindavan, and now I have again lost him and come to Kurukshetra. This is speaking words that were spoken by Radharani. She saw Krishna again at Kurukshetra many, many years later. Unless one is a very highly advanced devotee, he cannot understand these intricate feelings. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita has tried to explain this divyon mada, this divine madness, as far as possible. And it is our duty simply to appreciate it as far as possible. Not imitate, but just to appreciate. Therefore, in the, there's one verse. So always keep the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna in front of you and above you. And in this way, remain safe. So in the Krishna book, Prabhupada talks about the six Goswamis again. Rupa Goswami says he was in the role of Radharani, feeling separation of Krishna. Those who are in the disciplic succession of Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya should also feel the separation of Krishna, worshipping his transcendental form and discussing his teachings, pastimes, entourage, qualities, and association. The spiritual masters should enrich the devotees to the highest devotional perfection. Feeling constant separation while engaged in the service of the Lord is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. This is Krishna book, chapter 34. Then in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, in the purport, Prabhupada again says, the feelings of separation cannot be described, but it can simply be imagined by devotees only. After his separation from Vrindavan and the innocent rural cowherd boys, girls, ladies, and others, they all felt shock through their lives. And the separation of Radharani, the most beloved cowherd girl, is beyond expression. Once they met at Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse, and the feeling which was expressed by them is heart-rending. This is Prabhupada speaking. So the verse spoken by Lord Chaitanya, while dancing at the Rathiatra, and he was speaking about Radha and Krishna. He says, Sri Krishna continued, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham, my mother, father, cowherd, boyfriends and everything else, are like my life and soul. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my life and soul. And among all the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. Therefore, you are the very life of my life. Then in the purport, Prabhupada says, Srimati Radharani is the center of all of Vrindavan's activities. In Vrindavan, Krishna is the instrument of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan still chant Jai Radhe. From Krishna's own statement given herein, it appears that Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan and that Krishna is simply her decoration. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, the enchanter of Cupid, but Srimati Radharani is the enchanter of Krishna, known as Madan Mohan Mohini. So we hear everything about Krishna, Radharani, their pastimes, their relationship from Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes Prabhupada thought it was a little safe, so in Nectar of Instruction, he translates Rupa Goswami's prayers, that the perfection of life is to go and chant the names of Radha and Krishna sitting on the banks of Radhakund. Who could ask for a better place to go? Immediately the young boys who were working on the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust at the time, in charge of putting this into print. They went to Radhakund, and being young and possibly being Americans, they took it upon themselves to have swimming races across Radhakund, back and forth. And Prabhupada said, no one is to go to Radhakund. He said, and in fact, later on he said, those who want to go to Radhakund will go to Narakund. Instead of going to the lake of Radha, you will go to the lake of hell. How about that quote? Little different from today when our devotees roll in the dust of Vrindavan and immediately go to Radhakund. I became a devotee at 17. I was 33 before I went to Radhakund. 33. So cautious. So anyway, we have Rupa Goswami's beautiful prayer here to meditate on today. We can raise our hands, and as we get ready for the deities, we say, Radha Damodara Preshta, Radhika Varshavani Bi, Samasta Balavi Brinda, Dami Lotam Samalika, Krishna Priyavali Mukya, Gandharva Lalita Saki, Vishaka Sakya Sukkini, Hari Hrid Bringa Maschari, Simati Radharani Ki Jai, Sisi Radha Gokulananda Ji Ki Jai.